Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates, a Merry Hump Day Happier Happy Hour. Dom, I discussed with you off air, not publicly. I thought about ducking out early, you know, heading out to the Christmas holiday. In lieu of the fact, this is the last live Devils you're going to hear between now and when Santa comes down the chimney. And, you know, it is lightly snowing here in the Madison area, getting a little slick. So I am looking out with great interest at the traffic patterns, and a dude just rolled by, silver Mazda Miata, top down, baby, top down. Yeah. That guy's in the holiday spirit, and you all will be in the holiday spirit when I introduce our next fine guest. He is James Santel. Want to thank Jim John Nichols from The Nation in the last hour. Jim Santel, welcome back, the returning champ, former U.S. attorney, and the host of Morning Cannolis most Saturdays, but not on Christmas Eve, but every other Saturday. Jim's good for a damn good show, 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturdays. Jim, welcome back.
Hey, Jim.
I am pleased and honored to be with you yet again, both of you. Thanks for inviting me back.
Well, all I wanted for Christmas was some legal weed and Donald Trump's taxes. And I might get the latter, at least, legal in this jurisdiction, but I might get the latter. Jim, Donald Trump's taxes, They're oozing out, are they not? The House Ways and Means Committee has voted to release the hounds, release the taxes. I can't wait, Jim.
Right. This is after a years-long battle among the courts, and including the Supreme Court, and according, of course, of all the reporting on this, with Donald's attorneys trying to keep this from happening. Eventually, the United States Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals of the D.C. Circuit, saying no. There is a statute that requires that these be produced to the House Ways and Means Committee. That's what's happened. And right now, we haven't seen the final versions of them, but they're redacting some of the sensitive information, like Social Security numbers and other identifying information. We've got an awful lot of indication about what those taxes do show, because both of the committees that are involved in this have in their reports already, that there are some significant findings, not only about what he did and did not pay, but also, curiously, even before you get to that, about the apparent suspension inside the Department of Treasury of this program that attaches to every other president in recent times to do an audit of that president's taxes. That didn't happen over the first 2 years of this presidency. We don't know why yet, but it is certainly peculiar, and this should be the source of more focus, not only by journalists, but also by congressional committees trying to figure out what happened here. Treasury Secretary at some point should be able to look back and also say what happened historically inside her own agency.
Jim, the failure to audit the former president, despite the fact that was his claim, that was his ongoing claim, his rationale for not releasing his taxes. But I understand a Democrat made the request formally in a House committee, and it was only at that time that the IRS made the request of Trump the very same day, and they assigned one agent. And apparently, Donald Trump has very convoluted financials, many, many pass-throughs. And it was described as perhaps, by reporting at the Washington Post, he is too big to audit, too complicated, that the auditor, the IRS agent, was effectively outgunned by the complexity. But they could still point towards a number of different discrepancies, things like claims of $500,000 in charitable contributions made in cash each tax year. That's a lot of cash, right? Don't you have to substantiate cash contributions, Jim?
You do, and there are all sorts of rules that apply to you and to Dom and to me and everybody else who's listening to this show right now. that apparently the former president ran roughshod over that being among them. The other significant part of this, of course, we have seen the voluminous boxes being brought into the House committee that's looking at all this. There are four of them. And again, that goes to the substantiation issue. With something this extravagant and this huge, you would anticipate that the substantiation for things like charitable contributions, all these other things, all these other credits you may have been taking, property taxes being used as business expenses, all that's got to be supported by other documents. Highly unlikely that these were sufficiently supported if it's a whopping four banker's boxes that are now produced after all of this time. So this is another major issue that not only should the House committees be looking at, but frankly, Treasury Department too, looking at all this and saying, gosh, where's the substantiation for all of this? Charitable contributions, we've talked in this program about the Silver Springs property, classified it as a personal residence, reclassified it as investment property. All these kinds of things are now going to be out there in the public, presumably for all of us to take a look at. The IRS should likewise be, if it hasn't already, be doing a very close scrub on all of this.
And Jim, the man hardly ever pays taxes. And if you look, and I'm only going by the reporting at this point, but effectively, he hardly ever makes any money net. He continuously, like 12 of 15 tax years, lost his ass, like a good year for the guy. The supposed billionaire was a positive $4 million, at least on what he claimed on his taxes. Jim, this does not seem to be the financial profile of a guy who claims to be worth $10 billion.
Not at all. 2019, $4.4 million, pays $133,000 in taxes. That may be one of the legitimate years among all of these. But as you say, you go back, negative income in 2015 and 16, when he's running for the presidency, 2017, first year in office, also negative income, no federal taxes paid during that period of time. $24.3 million in 2018, pays about $1 million. So there are variations here. But again, that is the other big takeaway on the initial reports from the committees, that this man who has indicated that he is this super businessman who has been operating all of these entities of his to great success, plainly not reflected in what we have seen so far.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, our friend, joining us once again. Jim, always a pleasure to be with you, man. The taxes are what the taxes are, you know, and I assume that's, I guess, my problem. I assume that the job will get done, that the IRS is doing their job. The House Ways and Means Committee, you know, started this investigation, started this program to look at this. I mean, and specifically, doesn't this kind of justify what their efforts are if you have the IRS, who's supposed to be doing an audit, didn't do it? And let's be honest, we all know, just like McConnell said, we know who's responsible for January 6th. We all know why that didn't happen. It was Trump's person in charge, and they were sandbagging it, man. They were slow walking this thing and trying to, keep it out of the public light this entire time. But what happens to the IRS as an organization? Is this codified into law? Is just a suggestion? I mean, who is responsible? Who pays the price for them not doing their job?
Right. And so I mentioned already that even though she wasn't the Secretary of the Treasury at the time, Janet Yellen right now should be, if she hasn't already had some very difficult meetings with some of her staff, asking what has gone on here. There should be internal reviews. But again, that's the other reason why we have these House committees. Two reasons. One is oversight, plainly, to determine whether or not there are presidents and other officials in the public domain are behaving as they should. Secondarily, and that is the other reason for doing this, what legislation needs to be put in place? Does this protocol inside the Department of Treasury for regular annual audits of the president's taxes, does that need to be codified, strengthened by legislation that compels the Department of Treasury to do it? It's not simply an internal practice or procedure. That should happen as well. Concern again about the fact that as we sit here on the 21st of December, this Congress goes out of business in 10 days, and the incoming chair of the House Ways and Means Committee will pursue that. Those legislative changes should take place, as should, again, the public scrutiny of all of this. And again, the Secretary of the Treasury herself should be saying, gee, we need to do better than this in the future.
Jim, there's lots of ways to game the system. And since this has come out, one of my thoughts, I hearken back to the casino. You know, if you're going to launder money, a casino is a good way to do it. And I think Donald Trump is a shady character. I think perhaps he was engaged in some of those kinds of things. Now, I can't prove any of that, but this is just kind of what goes on in my head when I see these kinds of tracks in the snow, let's put it that way. And my understanding is that he was carrying perhaps almost $1 billion of loss carry forward from what he claimed from the casino. And if that was, is there any way to go back and relook and take a sharper look? Because I'm not convinced maybe any of this has been done. If he was doing money laundering for some Russian gangsters at the, you know, in the Jersey casino, and you know, taking money off the top or getting kickbacks and paid for there, then on top of it all, claiming a loss that he, you know, hoists upon the American people, because now any revenue he has, he doesn't have to pay taxes on because he has this on the books loss. Is that something that the IRS could go back and look at if they chose to?
Yes, yes, and yes. The answer is they should go back and look at it again, if they have not already done that or begun to do that based upon the disclosures they've just made. And this is, again, what we talked about a lot on this fine program, which is follow the money, right? Those records are still out there. This is not going back to records in the 1940s or 50s that are paper and they probably have now been converted into electronic form. But those materials are out there. They're relatively recent transactions. And to the extent that there is a criminal investigation of tax issues, which should not be discounted here either, a grand jury can issue, get this information. U.S. Attorney's Office can get this information. You go back, you subpoena bank records to try to find out what happened. You subpoena casinos, if you will, to get their reports on the things that they have done with Donald Trump and others. You can put this together. Is it painstaking? Is it fun to do? Well, maybe accountants would say it's fun to do. I wouldn't. But nonetheless, it can be done effectively. And even in 2021, it can all be reconstructed. Yes.
Jim, we're sneaking to break. I hope you stick around. But much like the January 6th committee made criminal referrals against the former president to the Department of Justice, is it now the Ways and Means Committee that will provide these documents back to the federal government and suggest that the IRS look into some of these cash donations, let's say, or yes, this very questionable use of a non-appraisal certified value to claim this massive multi-million-dollar tax loss. I mean, Jim, who investigates next? And be brief, counselor.
Everybody does, and everybody's on top of this, and I can chat more about that right after the break as well.
Well, I hope it's going to hurt for the former president. That's what I wish for Christmas. Somebody, you know, goes all Grinch on his ass, like the House Ways and Means Committee, or maybe our buddy, Jim Santel. Come back. More of us, more of him, more of you, more devils.
Nobody knows more about taxes than I do.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, our friend, sticking around for one more segment. Thank you for doing so, Jim. Talking about Donald Trump's taxes and his efforts over the years financially. How far back does the statute of limitation goes for, can it go for fraud? If we're talking about some of these casinos, some of the stuff happened back in the 90s, for example. How far back could prosecutors go?
Sure. Depending upon how you charge the case, there are 5-year statute of limitations. There are 10-year statute of limitations, all kinds of things out there. So it again, determines, it's dependent upon the particular statute that you charge. When you do these cases, however, you don't begin, you certainly look at that, but you want to go back as far as you possibly can to get a sense of again, the history of these kinds of cases. So right before the break, we were chatting about just that between Mike and you and I. And, you know, the notion is that if the IRS has already been doing an investigation of this, it's got all of those for the past 20, 30, 40 years. You're not going to go back and charge all those, but you're going to get a sense of what the records indicate. And plainly, 1 year, it does reflect on the next year. And so all of that can be looked at by the IRS as they pursue this. Just as a footnote to the question that Mike and I were chatting out right before the break, the IRS doesn't need the House committee to send these things back to the IRS to say, look at them again. IRS should be taking a look at these, all of these right now. But all of this, once again, can be the focus of a grand jury investigation by an IRS internal audit, if that has not already been done, and in a referral to the Department of Justice for criminal prosecution, if in fact there has been a knowing and willful evasion of taxes, false statements, misreporting, all these kinds of things are subject to prosecution under the federal criminal code.
Jim, Al Capone was a pretty bad man, but ultimately went to prison because of tax evasion. It's not sexy, but it's got teeth, these tax prosecutions potentially. Jim, you know I care a lot about the actions of the former president in regards to January 6th. But in terms of actually making it stick, when you've got a man exposed in this way, and so clearly he's got questionable tax practices, which add up to something more than a light slap on the wrist, if you know what I'm saying, Jim.
Right.
They add up to crimes.
Right.
Can you envision who would prosecute? I get that the IRS should be investigating, but I mean, who do you call? Do you call the DOJ and say, we've got a clear tax felon or someone that's committed these alleged crimes? Who lays the lumber then, Jim?
Sure, yes. And so the answer is precisely that. The IRS is a client agency of the Department of Justice. You happen to be talking to a former criminal prosecutor. I prosecuted federal tax cases in the time that I was a U.S. attorney and an assistant U.S. attorney. And that's who does it around the country. In this particular case, you may want to decide venue. Is it the Southern District of New York? Because that's where much of this happened. Could also be the District of Columbia, perhaps other places as well. And to your point about how this goes forward, the answer is yes. You look at all of this. And the beauty, if you will, if you want to describe in this human tragedy in that way, is that you don't need the human witnesses to come in. I think, Mike, where you were going with your comment is the papers will say it all. Again, it won't be very exciting. It won't be the kind of thing that will grab headlines with glossy pictures. But when documents, as Dom and I were just chatting, documents tell you that there was income here, no income there, valuations made at some levels of properties here, different there, the documents speak. And all you need to have is a document custodian come in and say, those are true and accurate reports, and you've got your prosecution, you likely have your conviction as well. You can make the recent example of this, of course, is the criminal state conviction of the Trump Organization in Manhattan. That's the case again. Yes, you've got Alan Weisselberg, but you had an awful lot of documents here that's told the story that Weisselberg corroborated. That's what can happen here based upon what we've seen to this point.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney. 3 more minutes left in the segment. Thanks again, man. Stefan Pasentino.
Yes.
This was Cassidy Hutchinson's initial attorney. He has apparently taken a leave from the Milwaukee-based law firm Michael Best and Friedrich for apparently instructing Cassidy Hutchinson to mislead the committee. Now, he denies it, Jim, but he's been wiped off the web page of Michael Best. What's your thought there, sir?
Sure. When I was in law school, we were told repeatedly, had to take all kinds of courses on ethics based upon all the bad things that the lawyers did in the Watergate scandal, right? John Dean and many others, including the attorney general. I would offer that we may now be in another situation like that, where future law students are going to be obliged to take more courses based upon the kinds of things that this fellow did, Stefan Pasentino. And as I look at the summary, which is what we've got, this 154-page summary, I identify at least 3, if not 4, situations where he is suborning perjury of Cassidy Hutchinson, and easily 3 other ethics violations. He tells her that she does not, in fact, have to say anything other than, I don't recall, even though she does recall. That is telling someone to lie. That is a crime. And yes, you can prosecute that. And even though I often say perjury is tough to prosecute, curiously, suborning perjury is actually easier to prosecute, because all you do is a witness or two to say, yes, he told me to lie. He also says, of course, that when Hutchinson comes back and she says, you know, I want to correct my testimony. He says, no, they don't know what they don't know. Just keep it the same. Goes on to say that when there's some testimony about casting the president in bad light, he says, no, we want to go there. that's telling the witness to lie. And that's a crime in America. Also, this business of giving her the possibility of getting a financially very comfortable job, that's called witness tampering. That's also obstruction of justice. He's in a lot of trouble. And we haven't even talked about the ethics violations regarding her telling him not to share information with other witnesses out there. He did that. He shared it with the press, absent her instructions, and also refused to tell her where the money is coming from. Huge ethics violations. If I were Mr. Pasentino right now, MAGA, making attorneys get attorneys. Absolutely. He should be in position right now.
Jim Santel, the real crime. We won't be sharing morning cannolis on Christmas Eve morning, Saturday mornings, morning cannolis with Jim Santel, 9 to 11. Except this week, you'll get a best of edition. But back soon, James Santel, the returning champ. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, friends. Happy holidays to everyone. Great to be with you once again. Happy New Year.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the Happier Happy Hour. Happy whenever Jim Santel comes around. Thank you, Jim, for doing so. I'll be missing the morning cannoli Saturday mornings on the Civic Media Network, but he'll be back for the New Year's Eve edition? Is that what it is? What day is New Year's Eve? Sunday?
New Year's Eve. Hell, I don't know, man. Yes. Sunday is New Year's Day, so New Year's Eve would be Saturday.
Saturday, New Year's Eve. So maybe Jim will do a little morning cannolis for New Year's Eve. We'll see. We'll get back to you on that. Dom, are we doing live shows next week? I think we are. Are we not?
We are, yeah. I'm full on, man, Monday through Friday. We didn't get Harvey had to cancel today, but Dr. we're going to have him on for next week as well. So, yeah, we're gonna get all our friends, we're going to get the gang back together, take a few days off, and we'll be ready to rock and roll next week with whatever comes down.
We're doing it live, baby. We're doing it live. Dominic, I don't know if you know, but I was already deep in the testimony of John Eastman, the January 6th committee.
Yes, apparently they have released, there is a release, CNN reporting.
34 transcripts.
34 transcripts.
You know who's not on that list?
John Eastman.
You know who's not on the list?
Robin Voss is not on the list. I did look. But I would say, though, I guess Burnham, this is Eastman's attorney, to give you a sense of what I've seen so far from Eastman's testimony, here's what his attorney said. A short statement on behalf of my client, quote, "We wish to preserve the objections and full noted the letter I referred to a moment ago, but we need not elaborate on them further here, with one exception. I wish to emphasize to the committee the importance of the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution, which I have counseled my client to invoke. This is fundamental to our system of justice. Invoking the Fifth Amendment is not an admission of guilt, and no one should describe it as such. We make no apologies for seeking the Fifth Amendment protection, as so many law-abiding citizens have done throughout history." And I scroll down a few pages, and what do I see? Fifth, 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 fifth.
Have you seen this letter before? Fifth. Dr. Eastman, did you have any role in drafting this letter? Fifth. Dr. Eastman, did you speak to Jeffrey Clark about this letter? Fifth. Dr. Eastman, did you speak with anyone else at the Department of Justice regarding efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election? Fifth, Dr. Eastman, regarding the 2020 election, did you speak with Representative Scott Perry? Keep seeing that name a lot.
Uh-huh.
Fifth, Dr. Eastman, with regards to the 2020 election and any efforts to change the outcome of the election, did you speak with Senator Josh Hawley? Fifth. And just so we understand, Dr. Eastman, with regards to whether you had any conversations with Senator Josh Hawley about efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election, you're taking the Fifth Amendment on the grounds that your answer could tend to incriminate you? Fifth, is that a yes? You know, there's other points in this little game they're playing, right? They're playing a game, but the committee lays out the circumstances that Eastman wouldn't podcast he was publicly speaking, and he even asserted the fact, I have a client here, but my client has given me prior precondition to go and talk about this topic on your radio show. But then when asked about the very same circumstances, the very same events, you know, not on a radio or a podcast, but under sworn testimony before the January 6th committee, his constant answer is fifth. Dom, don't guilty people plead the fifth? Didn't someone say that?
I think I've heard some Republicans claim such a thing.
Was that Trump or was it Michael Flynn? Because I see his transcripts are included.
Probably both.
And I bet you there's a lot of fifth, fifth, fifth on the Michael Flynn transcripts as well.
Question. Dr. Eastman, if you turn your attention to Exhibit 7 in your binder, which has a cover memo dated December 14th of 2020, if you turn to the next page, it's a document. The document's entitled Certificate of the Votes of the 2020 Electors from Arizona. Dr. Eastman, have you seen that document before? Fifth. Dr. Eastman, did you play any role in drafting that document? Fifth. Dr. Eastman, do you know who drafted that document? Fifth. Dr. Eastman, did you draft any certificates of electoral votes for any other states? Fifth. Yeah, like Wisconsin. Yes, of course he did. Now he has the right to take the fifth. That's fine. But seems a little guilty to me, man.
You know, it is a constitutional thing, Dom. You have the right to not self-incriminate. Now, he's under all sorts of procedural pressure as well, as was pointed out by his lawyer in the opening statements. Like, my client could be disbarred in multiple jurisdictions.
Really?
He has real cause to not tell the truth and the whole truth here, despite the fact he's under oath. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, why would he want to tell the truth? Dom, here's the other important J6 news. Do you know the Republicans released their own J6 report?
Oh, really? Jim Jordan finally got to it, huh? What are they saying?
Where is it? The Republican report. Why,
what did Nancy Pelosi know, and when did she know it?
Effectively, here it is over at CNN Politics. Republicans released their own U.S. Capitol report.
Ooh.
Focused on the security failures. Here's a little of the reporting, Dom. House Republicans on Wednesday released a report focused on security failures at the U.S. Capitol on the January 6, 2021, highlighting well-documented breakdowns in intelligence sharing, Capitol security, and coordination between various law enforcement agencies that responded that day. Their primary recommendation centers around reforming the U.S. Capitol Police Board and bolstering congressional oversight of the Capitol Police Force, two issues that were identified by lawmakers of both parties a long time ago. But the GOP report is silent on other efforts to disrupt the transfer of presidential power after the 2020 election and selective in its criticism of political leaders and their culpability and security breakdowns. Very generous reporting here, I'd point out.
Did they say anywhere in this reporting that you're reading that this was a partisan or a bipartisan committee?
No, this is all the people that Kevin McCarthy wanted to put on the January 6th committee that were deemed too partisan. Think Scott Perry and the ilk.
Like the same folks that have been recently referred to the ethics board for their noncompliance of a lawful subpoena from a sitting congressional committee.
You don't know that they're not under DOJ investigation? I would, in fact, hope they are. Many of the participants in this report. And the report resurfaces largely unfounded allegations to cast blame Democrats like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Here we go.
While glossing over former President Donald Trump's own role, Republicans cast the report as a rebuttal to the House Select Committee's investigation into the J6, and they are set to take control of the chamber and endeavor to take back the narrative. You know, we're gonna cast more of a fantasy, sort of a sanitized version of the J6, Dom. A little bit more here, Dom. The GOP report comes from five Republicans who House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy initially appointed to serve on the Select Committee before deciding members of his own party would not participate. It includes a timeline of events that occurred on January 6, making no mention of the fact that Trump waited hours before calling on the rioters to leave the U.S. Capitol that day and omitting incendiary remarks he made at the rally preceding the attack. Instead, the report paints Trump as only encouraging his supporters at the White House ellipse to march to the U.S. Capitol and demonstrate peacefully.
Yeah, there you go, CJ.
Noticeably omitting other parts of the speech, including when he encouraged rally goers to go fight like hell. Similarly, the timeline includes a tweet Trump sent after the Capitol had been breached saying, "Please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful." Missing from the report is Trump's tweet in which he eventually told the rioters to leave the Capitol several hours after the deadly riot began. And what about the one about, like, Mike Pence let me down big time. Go hang his ass if you could, right? Well, it was damn near
insinuated
that
perhaps, at least that's how the riotous, murderous crowd interpreted that.
So the January 6th report issued by the five that, you know, that McCarthy pulled back, and then Nancy Pelosi eventually put Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. It was a bipartisan effort on the actual January 6th committee side and a partisan whitewashing on the Republican side, right? Because, come on, you can't, like, ignore the culpability of the ringleader and then say, here's what really happened. Right. It was Nancy Pelosi's fault. She should have had National Guard there.
And what I don't see is all the Republicans standing up and, like I don't know, perhaps former Vice President Mike Pence, the one they wanted to hang, you know, that guy who came out and lamented the fact that this was the J6 committee's report was a partisan issue. Well, this report just released by literally partisan. I mean, all Republicans, several of who are involved in the coup plot. Just this little tease that we're getting. I found this on CNN.com. So if you want to see these 34 transcripts, you can go there and they have a hot link to them. One problem I have, the PDF is not searchable. That's problematic to me. And number two, the committee is just teasing us a little bit, Crudy, because the House Select Committee is saying now that it anticipates its final report will be filed and released tomorrow. So we're just getting a little piece tonight, a little something to get you through the night, and then apparently tomorrow the rest will be forthcoming.
Well, any night I can get a little piece, Dom, you know, no complaints here. But Roger Stone pled the fifth before the January 6th committee when they asked him his age. I plead the fifth. 844-967-2789. What's my age again? Pizza Box Mike. Welcome. What are you doing, fella?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, man. Not as little as possible, man. I have never been more prepared to not do anything for like 9 days.
Excellent.
Nice little break on Facebook. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I'm looking forward to Minnesota making it a shorter trip than Michigan.
Yeah, right.
Because I bypassed that Illinois. That's just like, Illinois sucks, and I wouldn't follow. So I'm never going to buy anything from them again.
Well, the Bears suck, but they do have legal dispensaries. So do what
you they're very highly taxed, more highly taxed than Michigan, to my experience, Pizza Box. And the amounts that you can purchase are higher in Michigan than they are in Illinois as well.
Oh, you don't even know how high they are in Michigan. But I'll tell you sometime off the air. Anyway, yeah, and not only that, the quality is just there, and the people are cool, man. You know, if I was going to move anywhere, well, it would be after this storm that they're facing. So don't anybody plan on driving anywhere soon. You know what I think we're going to witness, and I hope I'm wrong, but you're going to just, because, you know, there's just so many people involved in this conspiracy against the American people, right? You know, and everybody should know. It was all televised. I mean, you're watching it live, right?
Right.
But I think what you're going to see is that, you know, the people that have been operating beneath the law are now going to exercise that above and beyond the law, you know, that, you know, isn't in America, if you know what I mean. Because don't kid yourselves, man. The rest of us would be long gone. Like the Proud Boys and those other clowns.
Oh, man, they're coming to Milwaukee in 2024, Pizza Box. How you feel about the RNC coming around town?
You
loving it. I hope they get used to civic media, you know, just kind of like tenderizing them for the next 2 years before they get here.
I don't know why Dom's so afraid. I mean, this is not like
January 6th. Wait, I'm not afraid. Pizza Box, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. You better check yourself, son.
Check myself before you wreck myself?
You know?
Why are you asking, like, why are you acting afraid of oh, we're going to have Proud Boys marching through the streets and this.
I think it's bad to have Nazis marching through the streets.
That
call
will
me crazy.
Not happen.
Call me crazy. But when you have fascists all dressed the same marching through a street of any city, especially mine, I find that a little bit problematic. Doesn't mean I'm afraid, Crudy. But yes, I will call it out. And that's what they do. And I fully expect them to be here.
Chicken Colonel Sanders. No, they're not going to be here. They're not going to march through the city of Milwaukee. Not in the same way they charged the mound on January 6th, Dom. That is not possible. They
really?
Shut down the entire downtown with steel structures, dude. You think the Nazis are going to march through steel structures?
Yeah, they did that when they charged the mound at the Capitol. There were steel fences put up, and they grabbed them and used them to beat the cops with.
Come on, man. I'm not talking like some parking ramp racks for bicycles. I'm talking actual steel structures, dude. They're not getting through. I've been to the green zone.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal. Only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day, last segment of this winter solstice. So if you got something to say, join us right now, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I've already got the car started. I'm getting ready to head for Christmas break. I'm rolling out of here.
Gone, man.
I'm going to roll out of here like I got a marching band full of Milwaukee Nazis ready to chase my ass out of town, man. I'm getting the hell out of Dodge.
844-967-2789. Before we get to the callers, I just perused the 32 pages of testimony released from the January 6th committee on Roger Stone. And after about 9 pages of him taking the fifth, his attorney steps up. Mr. Stone is here to answer each and every question that you may have. You may not appreciate the answer, but he's here to give a response to each and every question. So, if you have more questions, I don't want it to be deemed that he's given a blanket answer to a series of questions. He's here to answer each and every question. So if you have more questions, ask them. We'll stay as long as possible. But I don't want it to seem as him giving a blanket answer to, you know, all the questions you may have. The attorney, thank you. We appreciate that clarification. They asked the question. Mr. Stone, there's a screenshot from a website entitled Support the Stop the Steal Security Project. And it has a video that shows you, and in the top left corner is a logo with a ballot box with the word Stop the Steal. Mr. Stone, are you familiar with the phrase Stop the Steal? Stone's immediate answer. After saying this, he's not going to give blanket responses. Here's what he says. On the advice of counsel, I will avail myself of my Fifth Amendment rights and respectfully decline to answer your questions. So right after, you know, his attorney says, well, he's not giving a blanket. You'll answer each and every question. Of course, it was all blanket. It was all the fifth all the time. I mean, if I had that many fifths, man, it was like being back in college and partying with Crudy.
Dude, everyone that was asked to offer evidence of any of the meritless claims they made, especially in courts of law, right? Many of these people, Eastman's a lawyer. Jeffrey Clark's a lawyer. Roger Stone, I don't know if he's a lawyer or not. I'm not less clear. But when asked to produce the evidence of the claims of fraud and stolen elections, they all pled the fifth because the evidence does not exist. Rudy said, we got lots of theories, just no evidence. 844-967-2789. We got lots of friends. Call it in. Last chance for the week, at least on this fun program. Rico from Rock County, a new favorite. How you doing, Rico?
Hey, Rico, how's that smartphone, man?
Hey, loving every minute of it. Yeah, that's good. It's working real good. Hey, I just wanted to comment on protests or whatever.
Insurrectionists.
Man, I miss the good old days in Mad down there, man, in the 70s, when our idea of a good old Capitol protest was to show up on the front lawn with big old blunts and pipes and bags, and we had the Great American Smoke-In. That's the kind of protest we need to get back to, guys. That's what I say. And I love your comments earlier. Yeah, Tony, don't back down. No medical crap. We want the real thing here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're right. We need to bring it back, Rico, man. It's time. It's time. Let's bring it back. We'll have a smoking at the Capitol.
Rico, I've been self-medicating since 1983. 844-967-2789. It's good medicine, Dom. Andy from Beaver Dam, trying to get to you. Andy, welcome. Andy, what do you got for us?
Hey, Andy.
Well, hopefully marijuana will make it in the next 2 to 3 years for you guys. And
2 to 3 years? I could go to jail by then.
Well, maybe if this judge thing goes through the way it should, and we get, you know, the district fairly set, maybe we'll be able to get.
So if we just win back the majority on the court, and then the right case comes down the pike, and then we reset the current partisan gerrymander of the state of Wisconsin, they redraw maps, then we have an election, and then maybe we get legalized marijuana. So what you're saying is there's a chance.
Hey, Andy, 2 years is better than 10 years, brother.
Right. Well, anyway, you two guys, Dom and Kurt, you guys have a wonderful holiday. Let's hope 23 shines in terms of, in spite of what's happening to Congress, let's hope we can still operate on the path that was started by Biden at any rate. But time will tell what happens.
Well, I can right tell on, you what's Andy. Happy happen. Holidays to you as well, my friend. Hey, we shine from within, brother. I don't rely on anybody else to make that shine, so keep on working. We appreciate it.
Dominic, I've heard him say often, I'm a star. I'm a bright, shining star. 844-967-2789. Cassandra from Madison. Welcome, Cassandra. What do you got for us?
Hi, Cassandra.
Hey, I was just calling to say that there's nothing funny about laughing about Nazis marching around, and you probably feel that way if you weren't white.
Well,
and also,
I don't think it's funny, Cassandra, also, but it's not going to happen. And I've been to the RNC before, and I'm talking about specific. I'm talking about specific impediments to marching. It's not going to happen, Cassandra. So I think it's a scare tactic from my friend. So if I make fun with my friend, it's because it's not going to happen. I'm not trying to diminish your thought. Of course, I hate Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis and all variations thereof. But that's not because I'm white, Cassandra. What I'm saying is this will be a controlled zone with lots of metal structures that nobody marches through that the city of Milwaukee does not condone.
What about the current Nazis?
When's the last time Nazis came marching through? Cassandra, when's the last time? Remind me.
I'm not sure, but I'm talking about January 6th.
Sure. That's something different. We're all against the insurrection that happened and the guy that inspired it. And we all want to see the criminal go down, be it the criminal pawns, the mob, or be it the criminal leader, the former president of the United States. But this is not a black and white issue, at least not to my perspective, Cassandra. I'm not laughing at any of this circumstance.
Well, and Cassandra, thanks for the call. And yes, we do make jokes out of things that sometimes are uncomfortable. You laugh or you cry. We do it the way we do it. We hope we didn't offend you, Cassandra. We all hate the Nazis. But I would say to you, Crudy, just because there's barriers up at some point, those barriers are gone. And then you can march from beyond the barriers any way they want. Chris from Sun Prairie, you'll get the last 45 seconds. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi. Well, if I only got 45 seconds, I just want to say happy solstice, and I hope you both have a happy, a Merry Christmas, happy holidays to everybody. So, that's all I got, I guess, for the 45 seconds.
A pretty broad Merry Christmas. Even to Donald Trump?
No.
Even to Robin Voss?
No.
Even to Scott Walker?
No, not to him. No, no, no.
So next time we'll give you more time. It's got to be a more directed, like a Jewish space laser sort of directed Merry Christmas, but not to you people, just the host and producer of the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Merry Christmas, Dom. Merry Christmas.
Happy Holsters.
Hope you have a wonderful holiday with family. Stay warm. Don't get caught in a blizzard. Stick around. Native Roots Radio is next.
I hate it, the Nazis.